Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Positive vibes on a Friday. The Astros are 1-0 on the very young season that weirdly started on May 30th, and they're looking to improve to 2-0 tonight at Minute Maid Park against the Minnesota Twins with Ronel Blanco on the hill. So we're excited about that, and we'll see what happens, Joe, with the lineup release for the Astros tonight. But I think we have uncovered a conspiracy. At a point last night on our group text line that features you, me, and Sean Mapes.
Is Sean still there?
He's still on it.
Not a lot of responses.
Not contributing. Right? Not contributing a lot. Not contributing a lot. That's not an issue at all.
Sometimes I feel like we're annoying him, though.
I always feel like I'm annoying him. But I've gotten to know him for a couple of years. You're not being very welcoming on this text line to Joe, but that's a conversation just, for later.
There's just some stuff.
Conversation
some stuff
for later. Hey, positive vibes.
Yeah.
Positive vibes.
Positive vibes. We're not bothering Sean.
We're not bothering Sean, but it's been addressed. But this is the more serious issue that needs to be addressed. So, Joe, at one point you texted a video of Joey Loperfido playing first base, making an incredible play. And you're going to have to do something for us.
Yes.
You're going to have to describe the play.
Okay, so Joey goes to his right, and he kind of falls down onto his knee, swings the glove around, makes a great play, then athletically gets up, starts sprinting towards first base, nice little beautiful underhand toss to the pitcher, who I don't know who he was, gets the out. Boom.
It's important that Joe describe that, because the highlight no longer exists.
There you go.
And I feel like you can put your tinfoil hat on right now. The Astros must have told the Sugarland Space Cowboys to delete the highlight of Joey Loperfido.
I don't know. It's not the highlight is the issue.
Okay.
Because someone got a screenshot of it.
Gotcha.
And it said, just the first baseman doing what a first baseman does. That, I think, is the issue.
It came from the Sugarland Space Cowboys account, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not like the highlight. Like, it's the context of the tweet. Because basically, to me, what it says, because it says just the first baseman doing what a first baseman does, Jose Abreu has had the chance to make the exact same plays, and they go right by him. So I think it's more about the – I don't know if they had to delete the highlight.
The highlight is gone.
The highlight's gone, yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, the retweet of that highlight with the quote tweet, which is what you're talking about, that's still there. The actual highlight itself, it is not on the internet anymore.
That's tough.
That's the problem that I have. And that makes me wonder if somebody in the Astros organization talked to somebody in the Sugarland Space Cowboys organization and said, you guys got to take it down. And if you see some of the stuff that's been posted on the internet since Jose Abreu's return to the lineup, I got to say, guys, I mean, we're all watching. We've all got eyes, and we are all seeing the exact same thing. Has his bat swing changed? Has it changed? Doesn't really seem like it has. And people with smarter baseball minds than me, you know what they're doing? They are saying that this is the exact same thing that we saw before his trip to Florida.
Yeah, it's no different to me. It looks the same. And they put out a tweet, and the caption of it clearly offended someone within the Astros organization. Now, look, the truth is, like, Anita, their head person, and other people in the organization, like, you know who Anita is. She's been on the TV broadcast. They have rabbit ears. Like, I have a lot of people in that organization that I know and I respect, and that, like, I had a great relationship with when I was at 790, but they have rabbit ears. And specifically, more than what's said on radio, on television, they see tweets, they see the response to those tweets, And that's what upsets them. So the fact that when this tweet went up, when this screenshot that I'm looking at had 86,000 views versus normally they put up a highlight and it has about 4,000 views, as like they scored like 20 runs the other day. They don't get that kind of traction. And I think they see that people are talking about this. And that's when they go, this needs to go away. So I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. They told them to take it down.
And if that happens, what is it going to take for them to realize that everybody knows this is wrong? I feel like on a day like yesterday, where there were some actually positive developments as far as the Astros and their choices about lineup construction, where instead of Yiner Diaz, they played Victor Caratini, they got a home run. Instead of Chaz McCormick, they played Mauricio Dubon, he got a hit. They're not forcing guys back who have been here for a while or who have performed or who are expected to perform at a higher level. They are replacing those guys if they're not performing. And they did it with John Singleton. And look, it's not like Singleton was doing that well either compared to Jose Abreu. You compare those two statistics. You compare their statistics right now. I mean, it's pretty similar. But Joey Loperfido looking good defensively at first base when it has been said that the reason he can't play first base is because his defense is suspect at best. That, guys, is a problem. And if you're talking about this organization, Joe, being rabbit-eared about what happens on the internet, they cannot make everybody take down their posts about Jose Abreu. And if there is anything that is a consensus online on all the apps, everyone is hyper-focused on him, and they realize that they could do better at first base, whether it's signing somebody who is not on the roster or moving Loperfido into that spot.
Yeah, I mean, and look, and you can hear it when they talk about, you know, I'm not saying there's been like top-down instructions, but in my opinion, you can hear people in the Astros organization, whether they're on radio, TV, or parts of the team, they dance around Abreu very carefully because they know it's a touchy subject. They know that they don't want to feed nonsense to the fans about what this guy is because it's not the truth anymore. And I do find it funny, though, that this tweet got deleted after on Wednesday, Dana Brown himself said if he doesn't get hot, we're going to have a different kind of discussion. So like their GM is telling you that if he doesn't figure it out, he's going to have to go. And then the Space Cowboys put out this tweet, and it's really not directed at Jose Abreu, but they're interpreting it that way, and they're making them delete it. It's soft. Like, there's no other – it's soft. It is soft, soft, 100%. Soft, soft, soft.
Grinding on coffee and whiskey on the Twitch, soft-ass organization. It's weird to what you said, Joe, and honestly, something I didn't really know, that they had rabbit ears about what's posted online. You've won two World Series. You've been to four. You've been to seven straight ALCS. What are you sensitive about?
But the thing is, Paul, is that there are so many people in this organization that they don't know what failure is. Like, they don't know what it is. How many people in this organization were even here when they were losing 100 games every year?
Good question.
It's easy to be the king when you're the king. You are everything the Yankees pretended they are as a franchise. You are. You went to seven straight ALCSs. You went to multiple World Series. You won two of them. This organization is the king of baseball, and then now they've fallen flat on their face, and there's a lot of people on the business side and the PR side that, unless it's Roberto Osuna or Brandon Taubman or a cheating scandal, they don't know how to handle adversity. They don't know how to handle bad things. Look at the way they handled the cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. They put Altuve and Bregman out there to just die at a podium. Like, they're the only organization that fired members of their organization when they were cheating and didn't bring them back in Luno and Hinch. They don't handle this stuff, anything negative, in a good manner. Their crisis management team is a disaster at all times. And to me, it's what leads to stuff like this. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They fumble the bag all the time.
Interesting point about them and they're the king right now.
Yeah.
They're the heirs to the king. I mean, some of the guys that you mentioned that helped build this thing are either just blackballed by baseball, Jeff Luna, or they're running the Baltimore Orioles, who look like a wagon all of a sudden with lots of young players that are still coming up. You are now the person that everyone is questioning. So maybe that lends itself to having those rabbit ears and not knowing what to do when things are not as successful. But I mean, look, even if you are not the same quality team that you were in those years before, I think that you should have, honestly, just the testicular fortitude, sorry if that's too toxically masculine, to let a highlight of one of your young, exciting prospects stay on the internet. It sucks that Loperfido got called down, but and it sucks even more that Joe Espada is basically saying, yeah, I mean, he deserved to stay up here. Mm-hmm. And he deserves every opportunity to make his way back to the Major League roster. What he did right there is more proof that he is clearly capable of more things than we expect. It doesn't mean he's going to be an all-star or have a Yiner Diaz kind of rookie season or have a Jeremy Peña kind of rookie season. Mm-hmm. What it means, though, is that he's doing well in a spot that we're all wondering if he's actually capable of doing. And maybe it is just one highlight. Maybe he had some bad moments, too. But you can't delete a video highlight that's good.
He's too good. Like the next time this happens, they will just put a more, you know, PG or G, you know, comment with it. They're not going to say this is what a first baseman does. They're just going to be like, great play, Joey. Like, that's all it's going to be. But Joey Loperfido, what he has done is, like he is the driver of these uncomfortable conversations the Astros are having to have. Because John Singleton hasn't been good enough to have them. But Loperfido is the guy that had the most home runs in all of professional baseball before he got called up. He's hitting over 300 in the majors this year. Now he's back in the minors, and he's part of teams that are down 6-0 in like the third inning and then winning 20-7. They scored 10 runs again last night, and Joey's a part of that. He's making great plays at first base. The reality is the reason why they're uncomfortable with these conversations is because Joey Loperfido looks like a damn good baseball player. Maybe not a great baseball player, but he looks like he's damn good.
The funny thing is, this is a good thing to have happen.
It's a great thing.
I mean, this Abreu thing stinks. Everyone knows it. And I feel bad for Abreu. I truly do. But you have something falling into your lap. Considering your minor league system supposedly stinks, all of a sudden, this has fallen into your lap. And okay, he's clearly capable of playing first base defensively. We've seen him hit. We've seen him play well in the outfield. I mean, you might have another super utility player over the next couple of years.
At worst,
on your hand.
You think he's Mauricio Dubon?
I mean, wouldn't that be great? Who, by the way, also isn't playing that much?
Yeah, like worst case, do you have like a fundamental bench player going forward on your roster that you would feel confident can play basically any position on the field if someone gets hurt, maybe besides shortstop?
It's a bad look that they deleted this. I mean, and they told the Sugarland Space Cowboys to delete that. I don't know that that happened.
Had to.
And honestly, I don't really want to knock on the door and figure it out, but I feel like the writing's on the wall. Mm. I mean, this is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is just, put one and one together, look up in the air like you're Brian Windhorst. Now, why is this highlight gone? It's crazy. But to what Joe is saying, all the hallmarks of a organization that has way, way, way too many ears. You gotta settle down, relax, and if a good thing happens, let the good thing happen. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you've got a thought on the Houston Astros possibly telling the Sugarland Space Cowboys to delete a highlight of Joey Loperfido, what a 2024 thing to talk about. You can join us 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, or on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel at Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Look at me. Got all those things out there. Coming up next, okay. Is deleting a highlight of one of your young prospects doing what Loperfido did as embarrassing as this album release that happened yesterday? We'll discuss. Stick around.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Big day in the music world yesterday. Now, Joe, as I get to know you more and more, I don't know how much of a music guy you are.
Big music guy.
I can say that I am among the most musically challenged people
really? In
the world. Yes, as far as people who are supposed to be on top of pop culture and things like that for a living, I'm not so good.
Okay.
Parents didn't let me watch MTV growing up.
Same.
And I really never listened to any music other than the music my parents introduced me to. I discovered grunge 5 years ago, for God's sake.
Okay. So, I got cultured in college.
You got cultured in college. Nice. It does help when you go to college and you meet new people. I will say my friends did help me out a little bit in college. But basically anything past 2000, I don't really want to listen to.
Okay.
But yesterday, a new piece of music was released.
Yeah, let's go.
Everyone was really excited for
Eminem's back.
Oh, I'm not talking about Eminem. I didn't know Eminem's back, in fact.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Darren Waller, who I'm not sure is still an NFL player, who also, because he might be retiring, who also used to date the very lovely Kelsey Plum.
No, married.
Oh, check that. You're right.
Married.
He was married to Kelsey Plum of the WNBA, who you might have seen not too long ago wearing a leather vest that, let's just say, did not have a bra underneath and was very interesting to observe. Darren Waller, after, I guess, his marriage fell apart, decided to not only make a song about it, but also make a music video to accompany the song talking about a divorce. And as a show that appreciates music, because Mr. Joe George, to my right, musical theater guy, I'm a musical theater guy. Sean loves music too. Here is Darren Waller's debut in the music world.
You know, in life, it's hard to love. It's hard to be free. It's hard to give all of your soul. Have your heart broken in return, but it's time.
Take your time in here. Just take a time out and fear. The nights we opened up and we knew how much that you and I were in.
A lot of it.
How long I gotta climb up this hill? I'm tired and I wanna be still.
I relate.
Imagine if we fell out of tune. Cause fuck, who knew that love could kill? Whoa.
Alright. Come on, that's not that bad.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
How long I gotta climb up this hill? I just wanna be still. I relate.
I mean, it's not terrible.
it's more cringe, as the kids say, right?
Yeah, it take the
what's the other
song?
One we have to use today?
Dead ass. Our intern,
Ryan
taught us a Gen Z term today. He did say, I don't look like I'm 35, which made my day, honestly. But
he's trying to get a job.
Man smart. That's how the bread is buttered in this industry. Just kiss ass to egomaniacs like me. But Darren Waller, okay, very open, very vulnerable, an auto-tune song about the breakup with his
You guys
wife.
Being very nice about the song.
What? Why, Sean? What's wrong with it?
Not good.
Why isn't it good?
Not a huge fan of the lyrics or the as Joe pointed out, the use of autotune. I'm okay with autotune. Just this is like mostly autotune.
I mean,
yeah.
It's only autotune.
I still don't think I know what Darren Waller's voice sounds like.
So?
There's a couple owl hoots in there. I
the owl
that.
Hoots made me laugh. Too.
They're pretty
that.
Great.
Because someone had to add that. They had to. That was a choice that they made.
I hope Darren Waller actually recorded the hoot because he identifies as an owl in the recording studio.
The wisdom, you know.
Yeah. The producer behind the glass. I'm sure Dr. Dre showed up for this one. Hey, yeah. Look, he's a millionaire athlete. You could probably hire Dr. Dre to produce this. The music video.
We would know if Dr. Dre produced
the music video has high quality.
Here's the thing. More likely to produce this song, the Dr. Dre you're talking about or the Dr. Dre that's our listener, Dr. Dre?
The Dr. Dre on 290, I feel like.
Yeah. Like if you told me that Dre was the one who, like, met Darren Waller, like while he's driving his big rig, and he's like, hey, man, like, let's add some hoots.
I like to think that that's Dr. Dre's only contribution was, you know what this song needs? I love it. Sounds good.
Yeah.
A little bit more autotune and a little bit more owl hoots.
Yeah, but the owl as a symbol, it makes sense, guys, because owl's nocturnal. And Darren Waller, now that he and his wife are no more, he's probably staying up late at night.
Mm.
Crying?
Yeah.
Singing to himself?
Maybe owls are crying when they hoot.
Whoa. That's deep. That should be an Instagram caption.
How long I gotta climb up this hill? I just want to be still.
I just want to be still.
Oh, they weren't even married that long. They were married for like a couple months, I think.
How long were they married? Yeah, that's, I think, part of he loses points to the judges, I think, because of the backstory behind this, where I don't know if that's how a lot of people would deal with divorce.
It's kind of crazy how both of them have dealt with it, because Kelsey Plum, I believe, posted to her Instagram about it, and it sounded like he may or may not have cheated on her.
It's based off the vibe you get.
That's at least the vibe you got, or that she was completely blindsided by it. And I mean, Waller, who, again, I'm not sure if he still plays in the NFL.
He hasn't decided yet. Like, he's still on the Giants roster.
Yeah, he gets introduced as Giants tight end on all these articles, but again, I'm not sure if he's actually going to play for the Giants. Yeah.
He's clearly decided he wants to pursue music. This music video is very highly produced.
I mean, it's on his own YouTube.
The best part is that he has a fake Kelsey Plum in the video. Like, the whole time he's singing to, like, an ex-wife stunt double.
The video is what I think loses a lot of people. Oof. Only 122,000 views.
It's probably got like millions on Twitter.
This is definitely
a more a Twitter thing than a YouTube thing.
From the 832, sounds like Post Malone. LOL.
I like Post. He's way better than that.
That's the thing. It sounds like someone who is trying to sound
be Post
like
Malone.
Auto tuning isn't that bad, right? I mean, don't you want guys who are not traditional singers to be auto tuned?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, it's okay to use autotune, but...
Yeah, like, but, like, this is not... But this
you can barely understand what he's saying.
Yeah, this is he can't sing at all, so, like, they're bumping up the autotune so much to make it sound passable.
I want to believe he can sing. The power of music, it's taken a hold of him as he traverses through life now without a wife. From the 409, has to be AI. No way a grown-ass man is doing that.
He's in the video.
Yeah, it's real.
He's standing by this.
What do I need? Like, what has to happen in Paul Gallant's life to get a music video response to something?
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be a breakup.
The thing is,
like, can I get like an auto-tuned Paul Gallant, Jeremy Pena if he wins like the MVP,
or if
music video.
Tom Brady like denounces the Patriots in some way or something? Because it has to be a breakup that really hurts Paul.
Yeah.
It'd have to be Brady related.
I think that's what we need to do on this. We need to try to find a way to like build our own music video. Something about like.
But if we do it, I feel like, so I'm such a clown and take myself so unseriously. I feel like I could not do something like this because as someone who is embarrassed often.
Yeah.
And has a very white face that gets very red when I'm embarrassed. This would be too much for me to
do. No, that's not true.
We'll
butter you up a little bit.
What, get me drunk?
Yes. we will like plan to do it. You'll be nervous. We'll just like, you know, we'll rip some shots. We're good to go.
Man. Keith says do a music video with Highway Cantina. I mean, that could actually work. But I think we might get yelled at by
I don't know.
The guy who does the song.
I do think that like
Coco Cabana.
I think the commercial we should change. It should be you singing the Highway Cantina song for their 30-second commercial.
How long I gotta climb up this hill to get to Highway Cantina and wait for my margarita?
I mean, we are talking about running ads during the Twitch break, like video ads. Like, oh. We could, like, you know.
Do a music video music of him wandering the streets of downtown Houston, looking for Highway Cantina.
A 30-second music video. That's all you have to do on Highway Cantina would be pretty elite. I think business booms.
And your relationship with Highway Cantina is not that much shorter than the relationship between Kelsey Plum and Darren Waller. They're married for 13 months.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that makes this...
From marriage to divorce filings, it was 13 months.
I also got to say, like, one of the reasons I'm a little concerned about ever getting married is that a lot of my friends have had marriages that lasted, like, 15 months. Like, three weddings I've been to have, in the last couple of years, they've ended after less than 2 years. Makes me a little concerned.
I just don't. How is that possible?
That's the divorce rate in our country.
But like that quick?
Like, I think people are a lot more comfortable these days thinking that they can do better when things are not going their way.
Yeah.
And understandably. I mean, you have more options theoretically these days, but...
Yeah, it is slightly better than being in a loveless marriage for the rest of your
life.
Well,
that's a good point. if it's that bad, like, get out.
Like, that's where this whole thing started. Way back in the day. So it's directionally right, but ultimately, still not great.
Sean Mapes behind the glass, Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It sounds T-Swiftish, says 409 Josh, that Waller got divorced and put out a music video. Well, maybe he is on to something there. Coming up next in the 10-minute drill, the Houston Texans are going to be on a reality TV show this offseason. You'll find out how next. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. All right, guys. We know who is going to be on Hard Knocks. It's the Chicago Bears.
I thought this was going to happen.
Caleb Williams and Joe George are going to get to know each other real well this offseason.
Paint my fingernails.
Well, Caleb, to be fair, Caleb's not going to be able to get to know Joe.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one. You can do the bear claw at him.
I'll be in attendance for his second NFL game.
Whoa. Oh, because it's here.
It's here.
Yeah.
Well... His first NFL game might, and we don't always see the rookies this game of the year. We don't usually see the starters this game of the year, that's for sure. This is the game where starters don't play at all. But the Texans are going to be on Hard Knocks because the Texans play the Bears in the Hall of Fame game, first game of the preseason.
Yeah, so that'll be cool, and I think what I'm looking forward to with that is my guess is they will go out of their way to do a little Texans coverage in there as well with the Hall of Fame because they'll spend some time with Devin Hester, I'd imagine, but you're also going to then get time with Andre Johnson, and not just the week there, and you're going to see CJ and Caleb together are going to play. I bet you they both play like a possession.
Over, under, non-game action screen time for the Houston Texans. I'm going to set it at 8 minutes. Non-game action. Over, under. This would include perhaps a CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams moment.
I'm going to go over because CJ Stroud is a star of the NFL, and I think this is a moment to where you can put these two in a room and try to, like, find a way.
And then the Andre Johnson part, I think, maybe adds a little bit more. Sean's making a face.
I lean under, but you make a good point with, like, they could really juice it by just having Caleb and CJ have a conversation.
Yeah.
But I'll go under because I feel like it'll be, like, 5 minutes.
That's fair.
And it'll be mostly on the Bears. There definitely will be a Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud moment, whether it's after the game, before the game, or running out to midfield right after the game where they're like, hey, you're up next, that kind of thing.
Which is so funny. I hope CJ Stroud doesn't say that to Caleb Williams.
Also, I don't know
because,
if you can
he's
say,
in his second year.
Yeah, I don't think you can say you're up next when you're in your second year and he's in his first.
I'm still up.
You're not enough of a veteran.
couple of C.J. Stroud. Loves him some C.J. Stroud. You know what he should do? Offer his hand. Psych!
Oh.
Dap in his face and say, yeah, that's right, kid. You're just the new guy on the block.
Great. Yeah. Welcome to the NFL, Rook.
I've been here for 18 games, 19 games. Can't wait.
And after that happens, Caleb's really sad, and he goes finds his mother, and he cries. They have a nice little cry. Listen, I can't hit on crying.
It is weird that they're going to play the Hall of Fame game and then play week two.
Yeah. I mean, they typically, I think they try to avoid that, but you have two teams who have Hall of Famers going in, and the Texans were, to me, a lock to play in the Hall of Fame.
I really don't understand how the preseason schedule is determined.
So this game is determined just based on who either has the most Hall of Famers going in or who has the newest Hall of Famers.
Gotcha.
And the Bears have like three, I guess you could say, because you have Hester, you have Steve McMichaels, Mongo, who played on the 85 Bears, and then you have Julius Peppers, who played quite a few years.
I forgot about that. And the Texans,
like, they kind of include that in the conversation.
And it's the first Texans Hall of Fame.
And the first Texans Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like you said, the Texans were
they were a lock.
Gonna be in this. But yeah. Okay. But they still play. They're gonna play four this year. Preseason.
Yeah, they play four because they have. This is the
addition. Like, this doesn't count.
Which I think that's stupid. Like, they should only play three preseason games, and they should just take away one of the other ones. But you know, whatever.
No one listens to us.
One day.
Caleb Williams is looking to be the next C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud already is the next Deshaun Watson on the football field.
No, he's not. He's better.
It's been 1 year. Watson had some good years. Let's give it a little bit of time before we're definitively saying that. But I'm excited and feeling like it's trending that way, Joe. But Deshaun Watson still isn't doing much after his surgery November 21st for a shoulder injury. Jameis Winston, who is a noted expert when it comes to body parts, was asked about what Deshaun Watson's doing at OTAs right now, and as always, Jameis Winston delivered.
I've seen intentional leadership of him taking mental reps like he is one of the best quarterbacks in this league. I've seen a consistent growth in just him focusing on his shoulder routine, focusing on building that strength back. And when he throws it, he spins it. You know, so I haven't seen anything of lack. I've just seen him just continue to grow, continue to lead these guys, because it's challenging when you're not getting the reps. It's challenging to have a presence when you're sitting back from afar watching. And he's done an incredible job just staying locked in, staying focused. I see him. I smile when he's communicating to the receivers in the back, communicating to the offensive lines, talking protections, because that is football, and he's not missing a beat.
I got to say, Jameis, who is usually goofy, is among the best teammates in the league. I mean, you saw what he did at the end of last year, where he basically told Dennis Allen to F off. We're going to hand the football off to Jamal Williams, who took on a lesser role so we can get his first touchdown after scoring so many the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things that you hear right now, it's going to be really interesting when Deshaun Watson, if he struggles again, it's going to be really interesting, because I bet Browns players, much like they fell in love with Joe Flacco, and that's probably the reason they didn't bring him back, because it would be a little bit awkward to have him back. I think that the Browns locker room is very likely to fall in love with Jameis Winston if Deshaun Watson struggles.
I thought Deshaun was throwing the ball. Didn't we do this like five times in this segment over the last couple months?
Kind and now of he's throwing it, and he's, yeah.
He said he was throwing the ball 40 yards. And then now he's back to just doing mental reps?
He's not doing as many reps as you would like to see.
Huh.
This shoulder thing is, I think, a huge issue. And obviously, you saw him not really doing so well in his first couple of games back after the suspension a couple of seasons ago. But last year, the issues were there. And the shoulder injury happened early in the year, and he played through it. And the best game that he had before he actually left the game, his numbers looked great, but all the passes were screen passes.
Yeah.
So I think there's a chance that he's going to get supplanted again.
But I think he has to get hurt to get supplanted.
Like, yeah, I think they play him until he gets hurt.
But
yeah,
that's the thing. I wonder is this a Jose Abreu situation for the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, it's worse.
It's so much harder.
Contract.
Yeah, and there's a cap.
I mean, it's the worst contract maybe in the history of the NFL. Like, there really is no other. I don't know what other arguments you can make besides this deal. Or like, what's the worst contract ever? It's got to be number one. Like, maybe. Like, I don't know what the dead cap hit was on Jamarcus Russell, because he was in the era before when, where you could sign rookies to these crazy contracts, and he played like four games for them or whatever it was. Like, this is one of the worst contracts ever, and maybe the worst trade ever.
That's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, we're giving you something awesome, and we're also going to take a look at athletes that we irrationally defend the same way that Jeff Bagwell might be irrationally defending Jose Abreu. Stick around.
You are listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Free stuff time. The Acolyte. Streaming on Disney Plus starting June 4th. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You're going to win one, a $100 Visa gift card. Two seats to the advanced screening of the series on June 3rd at Cinemark Webster. How about that? So caller number 3 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Said going into this segment, guys, that we're going to discuss once again Jose Abreu, because earlier in the hour, Joe, we talked about how the Sugarland Space Cowboys put out a highlight of Joey Loperfido playing first base for the Sugarland Space Cowboys. He made a great defensive play. It was retweeted by some in local Houston media. This morning or last night at some point, that tweet was deleted, and it does definitely scream, hey, the Astros got a little sensitive about this as they're trying to make Jose Abreu happen again.
Yeah, and it's not a good look. I mean, regardless of it, you just leave it and just wear it. Like letting the internet win is a stupid mentality. like you should, even if they're bullying you, like even if it comes from Jose Abreu, the answer should be no. Like whether it's the highlight itself or the fact that this is what first basemen do, like what the Space Cowboys wrote on the tweet is what was so quote offensive to them. It was unnecessary, and to me, it's now brought more attention to it because
yes, Streisand effect.
It's really like I don't know if we would have talked about this at all today, and it's probably being talked about everywhere.
I was looking for it to hopefully get play by play to maybe put this in the back of a segment and say, "Hey, look, Loperfido's playing first base."
Yeah.
The fact that they deleted this from the internet is newsworthy because I bet the Astros told the Space Cowboys that they have to take it down. We got some texts on it from the 713. Taking that video down shows how much power Bagwell has and how easily his ego gets offended. I mean, if you're going to put two and two together, Jeff Bagwell being the one that is saying this needs to come down, I would say that he was probably not someone who saw this. I think this is more in-house Astros PR realizing that the internet is going to be very, very mean to Jose Abreu mm-hmm. until he delivers.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is it's Baggy, maybe. Like, I could see where it's like kids find it, and then it gets passed to dads and things like that and people. Because most of them, that's probably what the rabbit ears actually are. Like, it's not really the people in the organizations are finding stuff. It's the fact that, okay, now I've gotten three or four texts from my friends that are like, man, like this tweet like doesn't look great for Jose Abreu. And then it starts to kind of roll its way up the food chain a little bit. I don't think Jeff Bagwell specifically.
I don't either. I don't
see why this was.
I think it's somebody's noticed this and said, okay, this is leading to more shaming of Jose Abreu online. Virginia Buttonweed on Twitch. It's like letting Twitch win. from the 281. The situation is silly. Jim Crane's hubris is showing in a bad way. He needs to go back out there to Luckenbach, Texas, and get back to the basics, take his hand off, and let back some of what helps make this organization for a winner. For God's sakes, it's so bad that we can all openly talk bleep about Jeff Bagwell, one of the greatest Astros ever, is a joke to us because of the handling of the Abreu situation. What more do you need to correct the course? How about a Joey Loperfino highlight playing first base?
Look, the baggy part of this is his reputation is damaged, and there's no fixing.
It's kind of like Michael Jordan in a way, where Michael Jordan owns the Charlotte Bobcats, and they're really bad.
But like, at least it wasn't the Bulls.
Derek Jeter with the Marlins, Derek Jeter with the Marlins.
Yeah, but like they're not bombing on their own.
That's true. They're bombing other organizations people care about.
Like, it didn't end great for Elway, but they won a Super Bowl. So like, it still works out. Like,
yeah, Elway caught a little bit of that on like quarterback number 7 that they're trying out.
Yeah,
but yeah, he could always lean back on the Super Bowl.
Like, this is like John Elway's first move was Peyton Manning. Jeff Bagwell's first move was Jose Abreu. Mm-hmm. They both looked at the back of their baseball cards and football cards, and one worked and one didn't. So like, the only way for Bagwell to really like get back in the positive eye is to just kind of go away for a little bit.
I agree.
Like, I think the worst thing he honestly does is when he does TV or radio, and then he tries to defend his actions without directly defending them, but he tries to gas up certain moves, but players.
His decisions are always going to come up, though.
Mm-hmm. So what he needs is to go away, and then the Astros to also become successful. this can't be the first of 4 straight bad Astros seasons. It needs to be an aberration. Mm-hmm. And he kind of lets go of the wheel, and then they go back and either win a World Series or just have another extended – or not extended run, but 2 or 3 more years of good baseball to where people aren't just like, you ruined the Astros.
Well, like what they – like, okay, because you have 4 signings that this organization, like this group, collective, Reggie Jackson, Bagwell, Biggio, Crane, whoever else is in there, have really been a part of, right? Michael Brantley was a mess. I think Bagwell more or less misspoke and was not as informed as he needed to be when he said Brantley would be ready for opening day last year, and he just clearly wasn't. It's kind of like funny, like the Deshaun Watson stuff with his shoulder. I don't think they really knew how bad Brantley's shoulder really was. Montero deal has been a roller coaster, right? Like, last year was a disaster, but this year's been pretty good. Jose Abreu has been a joke. What would save Bagwell is if they move on from Abreu and then Josh Hader continues to do what he's been doing, which is striking out 16 of the last 32 batters he's faced. They used him last night in a situation where they needed to get a win, so that number might be a little bit different than it was because the 16 of 32 was going into last night. But like, the Hader deal could salvage
this, man.
A little bit.
I think the only thing that salvages this is if they're back above 500 and are leading the AL West, and then all of this goes to the side and we can start saying like, overcome all adversity.
I think you got a win-win. Because, like, you got to really put this junk behind you. And the only way – like, the AL West means nothing to Astros fans.
Yeah, you have to get back to the standard.
I don't care about the AL West. And the standard is
at least the World Series.
Yeah.
Make the World Series.
Like, this standard is getting to the 8th straight ALCS.
Because no one's going to be like, man, what a great year. It was terrible for the first 2 months. They scrounged their way to win 91 games because the AL West stinks. And they lost in the wild card round because they weren't good enough to get a bye. So they lose a 3-game series to some random AL Central team. Like, no one's going to be like, yep, great, great. Everything turned around. You still need to do the playoff part.
Right.
Right now, we're just trying to get to the playoffs.
Yes.
Then the playoffs, you actually have to advance. Mm-hmm.
Let's keep this conversation going because it's very obvious to all of us that the Astros are defending Jose Abreu in a way that a parent that knows their kid's in the wrong is defending their kid. Mm-hmm. Who would you irrationally defend on that level? And also, is to what you guys are saying, it sounds like the World Series is still the expectation for the Astros. Is that still the ceiling for the Astros? Both of those on the table. Hey, still positive vibes. 1-0 since yesterday. The season began yesterday. Positive vibes going forward. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.